What You Missed on the Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lynn. Only on Money FM 89.3.
We've seen Hollywood movies about it, and it's become very easy for someone to steal your personal details and carry out illegal activities in your name. Identity fraud is a type of fraud that involves the theft of your personal information, including your name, date of birth, address, and other details, as what we've seen in the recent cyber attacks of SingHealth and the Securities Investors Association Singapore. In the US, there were more than 15 million US identity fraud cases, with Americans losing more than $16 billion US dollars in 2016 alone. And the 2017 Equifax breach was the icing on a very bad cake. Cyber attacks continue to get worse. Still, a recent survey by cybersecurity company McAfee found that only one in three Singaporeans ranked protecting their identity as their top cybersecurity priority, ahead of protecting privacy, connected devices, data, and connected home devices. To discuss identity theft, we're joined on the line by Matthew Bennett from cybersecurity firm Carbon Black. Matthew is Vice President and Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan. Matthew, welcome to The Curve. What were the motives of the cyber attacks in the cases, do you think, of SingHealth and CS?
Well, I think you've got to look at it in terms of what the criminal's after, right? There's a lot of valuable data in those medical records, you know, including demographic information, medications, insurance, valuable data to those individuals. And when we look in terms of who took that data, we have to stop thinking of it as an individual and think of it more of a business, right? Cyber criminals look at it just the same way that we do in the business world. They want to increase their revenue per crime with minimum cost and risk. You know, and in those situations, the trading and selling of that information across that economy is significant. So where they see value and it's unprotected, they're obviously going to target that. And if we look at healthcare, you know, looking in terms of targeted organizations, you know, healthcare is probably number two in terms of what we see as targeted organizations across the globe.
Okay, in terms of motives, is there a trend? Like what we saw with at SingHealth and CS, are cyber criminals increasingly targeting medical data and investor information, moving away from the financial records, and why?
Well, I think they want both sides of the coin there in terms of health information and financial. I think there's many different ways that they can leverage that data, right? I mean, I think the cyber criminal initially, the adversary is looking for that vulnerability or that unpatched system that they can take advantage of, and then they can sell that data on to a willing buyer, right? If we look at that whole system, I think we all think of it as they're an individual, but we can see it. There's people who build the software, there's people who service the malware, and actually then leverage that out to the individual looking for that information. So there's a whole economy behind it. So I think from a broad trend perspective, absolutely they look at health, and you know, at the same time they see it as an easy target on some levels. You know, recently we've seen attackers change the way that they target organizations, where they look at going for the least protected area first, right? And they island hop to their preferred target, so coming in from that edge. So I think it's part of that broader trend we're seeing globally in terms of criminals taking advantage of systems.
Well, Matthew, in SingHealth's case, the cyber attackers entered its IT system through an internet-facing workstation. What are some of the other ways that cyber criminals can obtain our data, maybe perhaps through email, even social media, which we're so active on?
Yeah, look, I think take advantage of natural human behavior, right? We all want to get access to the data that's important to us. And if anybody can intersect in between that, it's a natural point for us to potentially lose track of our information. You know, a good example, the CSA report last year, the Singapore Cyber Landscape, over 23,000 phishing URLs, where utilizing services that we all use, whether it be Dropbox or Microsoft, and pretending to be those organizations, that's a key way that they have users click on what they believe is a trusted application or a trusted website, and at that point they've already been diverted and their information is at risk.
Okay, just curious, what do the cyber criminals use the stolen data for?
Well, there's a number of different ways they can leverage it. One, it has value to you as the individual, right? They can leverage that into selling it back to you, right? You can actually be ransomed for some of the data. At the same time, looking at, we talked about identity theft, there's many different ways that someone can use your identity, right? We talk, typically people understand it from a financial perspective. We see credit card theft, and we see that ongoing battle for credit card companies to kind of inspect and understand behavior to see where there might be risk. But at the same time, someone can use your identity for other ways. They can use your identity to get access to medical services. They could use your identity to commit other types of crimes, it might be insurance fraud and so on. So I think there's a whole wide range that they can use it, and there's a whole economy there to service it, right? So they can find willing buyers, right? And I think that's the key, right? Not only can they get your data through attack, they then have an easily serviced market to monetize it. And that's the key that they're looking to monetize. It's not a crime for recognition, it's a crime for money.
But Matthew, can you give us any specific case studies that you've encountered where people have been stung by this kind of behavior?
Sure. So I think there's a number of organizations. I'm not going to call out any specific organizations, but we've seen organizations where, you know, the initial target in the organization, they might have called patient zero, has been hit by a phishing attack. And that person is then given access into the organization. And as a result, that gives the adversary the ability to take over parts of their systems. And actually, you know, we've all talked as well about in terms of how that can leverage into ransomware and other types of attacks, and being able to have that information sold back to you, right? You know, quite often we think of data of having no value to anyone else, and the key is that it has value to you, and that's what criminals can kind of leverage as well. So I think across many industries, we look at the most recent study we conducted across incident response. You know, I talked about healthcare being, you know, one of the key targets. Financial continues to be a major target because of the easy nature of selling on that information and leveraging it into a criminal activity.
Maybe for the benefit of our listeners, Matthew, you can tell us, what are the signs that our personal info has been hacked?
Sure. So I think the way to look at it is you're looking for changes in the normal pattern, right? So if you were, you know, outside of the cyber world, we often, you know, look at typical patterns in terms of when we meet people, who are they, how do we know them? We don't exchange information with them until we understand who they are. When we look at it through the cyber world, we need to kind of bring some of those same principles, right? So if you see different types of behavior, if you're targeted by an email or on a website, you see something pop up and it's asking you queries that you've not been asked before or that you've not triggered, right? You have to kind of put that through the lens of saying, does this make sense? Right? Is it, you know, would this normally happen? Should I actually conduct and go through with this? And I think, you know, you'll start potential signs that you might see when you look at credit cards. Obviously, you might see alerts around spending patterns that you wouldn't have, or you might receive emails questioning you to asking you to log into a site that you haven't done previously, asking you to provide your email and your password. Again, all of these things are outside of your normal behavior, and you're just looking for those indicators, really. And take a pause whenever you're asked for a password. Always look at that. Why is that happening? Should it be happening? Does this make sense? Has this happened before? And I think understanding where you are and where you're going from an internet perspective is key, right? We wouldn't walk down a dark alleyway late at night. We need to bring some of those same principles as when we're navigating online.
Yeah, the hackers can be very convincing, can't they, with familiar products and URLs that seem like official ones that we're maybe using. But let's talk protection measures. What exactly do identity theft protection services do?
So they're typically looking at your overall identity online, right? They're typically monitoring and looking at resources, you know, across a broad range of websites and services. You'll typically have to provide them a lot of information about where you typically have accounts. But then they're looking for, and again, it comes down to a lot of it, data analytics and processing, where they're looking to see anomalies from your normal behaviors. And I think it doesn't absolve you. It's not a question of that if you buy that service, that means you don't have to do anything to keep yourself protected. But they're alerted and looking for things that are outside your normal pattern of behavior.
All right. What about things that I can do to protect my identity offline when I'm not online?
I think the first thing you can do is, we look at it from the point of view, how do you protect your information, right? And typically the first port of call is around your passwords. So making sure that you actually build and follow the recommendations when you're ever asked to create a password for a service. At the same time, the key thing I'd recommend anybody to do is, you know, 9 times out of 10 when you're attacked or you're hacked, it's probably through some sort of link that you've clicked through, right? If you're unsure, either flag it to your organization if you're protected by your employer as well, but also you just go to that website itself. Don't follow the link. If the bank is asking you for something, go to the bank's main website. Don't click on the link within the email. If it doesn't feel right, don't go ahead. Right? I think the biggest challenge, the biggest way that criminals try to take advantage of you, is that they put something in front of you that you really want, and you overcome your normal reticence because you really want that data. If it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is.
Okay, thank you very much, Matthew Bennett from the cybersecurity firm Carbon Black. Matthew is the Vice President and Managing Director of Asia Pacific and Japan, right here on Money FM 89.3.